knew until I was 25 years old. My father was a farmer and owned an 80-acre farm in Chocolata Bay. I still live on this farm, but it's now used to raise cattle. When people began to move away from cotton farming, my parents began to grow vegetables and fruits along with butter, eggs, or pork to sell at the farmer's market in Aniston. The two things I despised doing more than anything on the farm was hoeing and picking cotton. Picking cotton was the worst because I often had to miss school and it made my back hurt.
What were your duties on the farm?
I was involved in almost all the work on the farm in some way, but my specific jobs were to shell corn to feed the chickens, to gather the eggs from the nest around the barnyard where the hens hid their eggs, to bring in wood for the cook stove, and to milk a calf. And this was our responsibility, my responsibility, and if it was not done, I was punished. I was to help wash the supper dishes and clean up half the house on Saturday. My sister and I had some pretty good fights during the supper dishes, but we always got through in time to hear Lyman Abner and Amos and Andy on the battery radio. My brother had finally earned enough money to buy. My sister's chores were similar to mine, but my brother, being several years older than we were, he had jobs that were harder and that brought him in some money. And he often had some job that would bring in extra money that he could spend as he pleased.
What kind of animals did you have on the farm?
Well, we had a lot of animals. We had mules for farming. We had cows and calves for beef and butter and milk. We raised chickens for the food and the eggs. In the spring, my mother would buy 100 baby chicks, only 2 days old. And they had to be shipped from the company to us very fast because they would be without food while they were being shipped. And as soon as we got them, we had to put them into a brooder where they'd stay warm, and we had to start them out with feed suitable for small chickens. And they were raised so that we could have chickens to eat for ourselves, and so we could have eggs to sell on the market. And we had geese on the farm for a few years, and we used those because some people liked their eggs, and their feathers were used for making pillows and comforters for the beds. One job I never did on the farm was to pluck a goose. We had dogs and cats for the pets, and sometimes some people might have a pony or a horse for riding, but we didn't have one.
Were there any dangerous animals?
Yes, sometimes you might have an angry cow, and every spring there was always the cry of mad dog, which meant that back then people did not give their dogs and cats rabies shots, and parents had to be very protective of their children outdoors. If a mad dog came into the community, the news spread fast, and small children were kept inside until the dog was destroyed or went away into the woods or mountains or someplace and didn't return.
Who took care of the dog? Did that mean the community or did a dog take care of it?
No, our parents or our brothers or some of the adults would have to destroy the mad dog.
What kind of crops did you grow?
The main crops that were grown were cotton, corn, and hay. My father was a good farmer, and he worked from early to late. But even with that, many years there was not enough money to buy seed and fertilizer to start a crop the next year. We raised hay for the cows and for the mules that we had to feed, also the corn. Cotton seed from the cotton was used for feed. Everybody had a watermelon patch, a strawberry patch, a sea-dried orchard. We had popcorn and peanut patches. And the crops we raised were for home use first, and then the rest could be sold or given away. If somebody came to visit your house, if in the afternoon, instead of having snacks and cokes like we might have today, you would bring in your fresh apples or your peaches or watermelons or pecans. Most of the people had pecans or walnuts or chestnuts that came from the woods. It was told that there was one man in the community that had a real good apple orchard, and it was said that nobody could steal an apple out of his orchard without getting caught. So these two boys had decided that they believed they could steal an apple from the orchard, and he wouldn't know it. So one bright moonlight night, they set up their plan how they were going to sneak in the orchard. So they sat on the hillside and watched until all the lights went out in the house, and they thought the man was in bed. So they came with their sack, and one boy climbed the tree, and he was going to hand the apples down for the other boy to put in the sack. And so they were going to grab about five or six, and then they were going to get out in a hurry. And the boy was hanging the apples down, and when he climbed down out of the tree to tell the other boy to let's go, there stood the orchard owner with the apples in his sack.
What kind of equipment did you use for a farmer?
The farmer had to have a lot of equipment. Wagons, cutting plows, fowlers, geehazes, cultivators, planters, mowers, axes, saws, hoes. All of these were vital to the farmer. And if a farmer had some of his land rented out, he would probably have to provide machinery for those people also. The landowner tried to keep an extra supply of bolts, nuts, plow points, bridles and things for the mules, so that when the farm work got started, he wouldn't be slowed up by losing things or having breakdowns. But the time that the farmer had in the spring and in the fall were very precious, and he didn't like to waste the hours from a broken piece of equipment. So He learned to replace things. Sometimes things were wired together until the right piece could be bought and made. There was always a blacksmith in the community, and there were always one or two blacksmith shops in the community. Here, plow points were sharpened, mules were shod, pieces of metal shaped to form whatever thing piece was broken, and these were heated on the forge. The forge had a bellows and caused metal to get so hot that it could be hammered into the replacement parts that you might need. So ingenuity was of great value on the farm. Sometimes if a bolt or something was lost, rewards were offered to the children if they could go out into the field and look through the soft soil until they could find the piece that was missing. And on rainy days, The farmer spent a lot of time mending the bridles or replacing the handles and the holes or other things like that, so that when the weather became pretty again, they would be ready to go without any more problems.
And what kind of things did you eat?
Well, I always thought of the farm as having a wide variety of foods during the year, but at certain seasons, of course, you would not have such a wide variety. Vegetables were the main part of our meals spring, summer, and fall, and then meats were eaten throughout the year, but they became a vital part of our meals during the winter. My mother always canned, pickled, and dried or cured many foods. Canning was a long, hot process, especially in late June and July, when most of the vegetables matured. The main foods canned were green beans, tomatoes, peaches, berries. Pickles were made using homemade or bought vinegar. I remember a large stone-looking jug that my mother used to use to make gallons of vinegar from the apples that we had, and then she would use this vinegar to put up her pickles. Beets and cucumbers were the main types of pickles made. No, we didn't pickle the pig's feet. We dried beans, peas, butter beans, apples, and peaches. Sheets of tin were put where the heat from the sun would be directly over it. Sliced apples and peaches were spread in thin layers, and in just a few clear days, the fruit would be dry. If a rain shower came up, there would be a mad scramble to get the fruit in the shed before it got wet. When the fruit was dry, it had to be heated in an oven until no insects or eggs remained to hatch and ruin the fruit. It was then put in large jars to be stored away for fried pies in the winter.
Did you preserve your own meat?
Yes. One of the things that I remember when I was growing up as a child, that we always grew a hog that was very, very big and fat. And this was necessary because the fat was used to make lard for cooking. And lard was stored in cans holding maybe 5 gallons. And large families would need maybe 3 cans or more of lard because frying was a favorite way of cooking back then. And although we always had from 3 to 5 hogs and plenty of lard, my mother always cautioned us about using too much lard when we were cooking. Of course, she was right, but maybe it was because she came from a large family of 10 members, and they never had enough to last for a whole year. Lard was made by cutting all the fat meat from the hog, except for the bacon. The hams, the shoulders, and other parts would have the fat trimmed off, and this fat was then cut into small squares and put in a pot and cooked outdoors over a wood fire. The fat would be cooked down until the squares of meat became small and very brown. Then cloth would be tied over lard cans, and then this would be dipped into the cloth so that the liquid would be separated out. And then the liquid would be poured into the cans. The cloth would stay over the cans so that all the liquid would drip through. And then the cooked meat was called cracklings. And it was mixed with cornmeal and made into crackling bread. Have you ever eaten a glass of milk with hot crackling bread? Yum, yum, good.
You said you used the hogs you had lard. From the hogs, what else did you, like what kind of meat did you have, like pork chops or what else did you have?
No, I did not know the word pork chop when I was growing up, but The hogs needed to be slaughtered when the weather was going to be cold for several days, because after the hog was killed, the hair had to be scraped, it had to be hung, and then, of course, the parts removed, it would be thrown away. And